Welcome to Take What You Need. Think of this as a weekly catch-up between me and you where we talk about everything. From the mindset shifts that make us better versions of ourselves, to discussing how the media and marketing play an even bigger role in the story of our lives than we might think. Each week, I delve into the questions that you, the listeners, have asked and share my take on the topics that matter the most to you. Let's get started. Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Take What You Need podcast. I'm really excited about this episode because it's something that completely blew my mind. So let's just get straight into it. I'm not going to waste too much time. Let me start with a question for you guys. Have you ever heard the phrase, what would you do if success was guaranteed? Maybe you've heard it reworded in the sense of, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? It's a question that's really supposed to open your mind and make you excited about the possibilities. But sometimes it can sound a bit like abstract, it can sound a bit over enthusiastic, and it's like, sure, yeah, I'd do everything if I couldn't fail. But actually, we're not talking in ifs and potentials. This is real life and life is hard, right? Let me take a step back and let's actually explore the possibility that some things that you're working on, some things that you have in your hand right now, maybe their growth is guaranteed. And maybe it's not that much of a figment of your imagination or far reality than we think. Maybe it's closer than we actually think. So sometimes you might wonder, I've definitely been through this in the last couple of years, like, can I really do this? Like, sure, this is working right now, but maybe it's just a fluke. Maybe the other shoe's gonna drop. Can I actually get there? Like, yes, I've made step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but can I make it to step 100? Like, is this really gonna last? I think when you're embarking on something that's so huge and so significant and so exciting, and maybe something that you've never done before, or you feel like is a step closer to your big picture dreams and goals, some questioning can come into play. You can really ask yourself, like, is this too good to be true? Is it possible? Can I do this? Do I have what it takes? And I was reading something the other day. I was reading a book that was gifted to me as part of my friend's 30th last year. And something, just rereading a story that I had read or heard of and that had been told to me many times over the years, I saw it in a completely different light and it completely changed everything for me. I know that I'm building it up a bit, so let's actually just get into it. The story specifically is about the story of the talents or the bags of gold from the Bible. Now, before anybody like turns this off and thinks like, I don't want to listen to anything religious, just stay with me and just listen to the principles of what I'm about to say, because genuinely, it completely changed my mindset and it's something I go back to regularly so that I can stay confident and excited in what I'm actually doing. So let's actually revisit the text. I'm going to read most of the story to you just so that you can picture it, imagine it, get it into your head, maybe close your eyes so that you can really understand and see what's going on in this picture. So it's Matthew 25 and it says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another he gave 2 bags, and to another he gave 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 bags more. But the man who received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Pause. Now, before I go on, I'm just going to say this straight up, that this is not going to be an episode about how you need to put more effort into the gifts that you've been given and not waste your time. That is the moral of the story that many people who have grown up listening to this story have been told. That story is true, or that moral is true and valid, but it's not the only dimension. There is something so much bigger in my view, so much more profound, and something that we can take away that doesn't put more pressure on ourselves to perform or more pressure on ourselves to get to work in a world that is already so pressurized. It's actually incredibly freeing, so just stay with me. I just wanted to like give a quick spoiler alert that that's not where this episode is going. Back to Matthew 25. And this bit I might paraphrase a bit. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled the accounts. The man who received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5 and said, "Master, you entrusted me with 5 bags. Look, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many. Come and share in your happiness." And the same thing happens with the guy who has 2 bags of gold. But then the one who received 1 bag comes and says, "Master, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. And the master gets really frustrated and goes and then says, like, you're wicked and you're lazy. If you knew that I harvest where I do not sow and I gather where I did not scatter seed, then why didn't you even just put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would at least have received it back with interest? And then it goes on and he basically, like, the gold that he has gets taken away from him. That's a long story short. And as I've said, typically when people talk about this particular story, it's all about put your things to work, because if you don't put what you've got in your hand to work, it's going to be taken away from you and la 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 la. And all that is true. But I, like I said, there's more to the story and you may have been able to glean it from the areas where I paused or I emphasized. So I only have two things to say about this extract, about this story, about this parable, and they're hidden truths about the nature of God and what God gives us that doesn't depend so much on our excellence and our performance. It does require us to obviously do something, right? We're on earth, we have, you know, the ability to actually do stuff, so we need to do it. But there are some underlying principles that empower us to actually take the right action. Taking action from a place of, if I don't do it, I'm gonna lose it, is a recipe for frustration, is a recipe for fear, is a recipe for overdoing things when we don't need to do them. It's a recipe for strife. And who wants to live in a world of strife and feel like they're pressured and that someone's looking at them and they're gonna, you know, lose everything if they don't put it to work straight away? Who wants that? No one, right? So let me get into the two truths that I gleaned from this that really, really have shaped my entire year. And I'm so happy that I had this perspective. It was like a light bulb moment out of nowhere. So when we go back to that story, I want to highlight two specific elements. Number one, that in the story, the master gave each person according to their ability. That's what it says in the text, according to their ability. And number two, when the master returns, the master is frustrated because the master has an expectation that things would grow. Remember, the master says, I harvest where I did not sow, right? So those are the two things. The master gives according to ability, number one. And number two, the master gives with the expectation that it would grow. So let's start with number one. God, or the master in the story is a representation of God. God gave according to their ability, i.e. God knew that they were qualified for what they'd already received. Now, this sounds like a simple truth and it's kind of in the text already, but it blew my mind because it showed me that the things that I have experienced and I have received and the projects that I'm doing and the experiences that I'm having, I'm actually qualified enough to do them. And sometimes that sounds really basic, but how many times have you maybe been in a position where, let's say you've got the job that you really wanted, or you finally been able to buy the house that you wanted, or you're in the relationship that you wanted and you're just like, oh my gosh, I hope I don't mess it up. I hope I can do this. Like, can I really do this? Are they going to find out that I'm not as great as maybe they think I am? That whole thing around imposter syndrome, or thinking that you're going to mess things up, or thinking that, like, yeah, I've got it now, but could I lose it? That is a huge, huge thing. And when I think about the fact that over the last couple of years, on a personal note, I've been able to start a small business, which I didn't have before, it's really affirming, because it's like, at this point in time, like, where what you've been given, God actually believes that you have the ability to handle it. And sometimes we doubt and we're like, subconsciously, like, we're waiting for someone to, like, find us out. Like, that is the whole conversation around imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome comes from the fact that we think, for whatever reason, that we can't necessarily handle what we've been given. But it's given according to your ability. And I really want you to remember that, because it changes everything, you know. And I think that if I transpose this back to a personal example, I think this makes it come alive a bit more, you know, that God believe that I'm capable of executing on particular ideas that started off as tiny seeds in my mind, that God believe that I was able to sustain and carry certain relationships and its physical and intangible gifts to actually make projects and do the things that I'm doing now. It's so amazing. And it's like, sometimes we execute on projects or we are in relationships and we're trying to prove that we're even good enough to be there. But actually, you're good enough to be there by the fact that you're already in it. That is a simple thought, but it's huge. It matters so much. It changes your energy towards how you approach things. Instead of questioning whether you're good enough and, like, basically being nervous at any time maybe things don't go right, or even just being nervous about the sheer volume and the gravity of the opportunity that you have taken on, you can actually be calm and be like, actually, this is given to me because I can do it. Like, it has been given according to my ability. And with this new perspective, who can tell you that you're not good enough? Even your own internal critic cannot stand up to God's perspective, right? If God has the perspective of the world, if God is eternal and can see everything and has experienced everything, then your internal critic, that voice can only be so loud. Even when things don't really always go right, what failure can negate the fact that God has deemed it appropriate for you to carry a particular thing, for you to execute on a particular thing? It just really frees you from this anxious desire to maybe overwork, to prove yourself. It frees you from the subconscious worry that people might find you out and find out that you're not as good as they think you are. It is, for me, the ultimate antidote to imposter syndrome. But I've always struggled with the advice that is like, basically, you're good enough because you're good enough. Like, just look in the mirror and be like, I'm good enough to be here and it's going to be fine. Like, that never felt true or substantial enough for me. I really wondered, like, okay, what are those positive affirmations based on? I need them to be based on something like a bit more tangible. And it never felt like much. I guess in a way, I felt like I needed an external barometer, an external stamp of approval. And for me, with this scripture, again, based on the belief, and I always say this to people, even when I do speaking engagements, if I'm going to choose to opt into something like the Bible, I try to live my life as if it's real without any doubt, because otherwise, what's the point? I may as well just not even bother. And I recognize that with this scripture, it was kind of the ultimate stamp of approval. It's because sometimes we seek external stamps of approval, like getting promoted. But then the thing that approves you then makes you nervous because you're like, wait, can I actually do this? Am I really good enough to be a director at this age? Like, am I really good enough to actually be with someone who's so amazing and ticks all my boxes? You get the thing, and then the thing makes you insecure. That's kind of the challenge of life, I think. That is the inherent example of why the external, like, human things in our world can never really fill those gaps, because we want them and we long for them, and they give us a sense of self-actualization, but sometimes they can also imprison us because we then are feeling like, oh my gosh, can I actually maintain this? Can I do this? But with all of that, in that one line, the master gave them according to their ability. The ultimate stamp of approval is there. You've got it from the outset. You haven't got it when you're 1 year in and you've maintained it. You've got it from the day that you receive it. And I think that is incredible. So you might be wondering, what about the things that I don't have? Like, yes, I'm happy that I have this particular opportunity or this relationship or whatever, but what about all the things that I am still hoping for and I'm still looking towards? Does that mean that God doesn't think I'm capable of having those? This is the next thing. And this is kind of connected to the second point, that God gives with the expectation that things will grow. With every situation that you're given and every opportunity and everything that you've been blessed with, there is a default expectation of growth. So if you don't have it right now, just cultivate it. That sounds really, really obvious, but I want to just go back to the text again and just remember that the master replies, if you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and I gather where I have not scattered seed, you should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. There's this inherent nature of an expectation of growth, right? And that expectation of growth comes with doing something. But you don't even have to do anything crazy. Like, even in the master's response, the master's like, okay, like, don't hide the things that I've given you. Don't bury it in the ground. At least, like, just put it in the bank and you'll get, like, a basic level of growth. And I think that automated idea of interest and growth, the fact that we're even talking about, like, financial banking terms in a context of how you live your life is so interesting to me, because when you look after something, by the nature of looking after something and cultivating it, you have the power of accruals, right? So in finance, when they talk about, you know, the best thing you can do is accrue or have compound interest on anything, right? You're always looking for things that attract more interest. That is inherent in the opportunities and the moments that you're given in your life, right? And it really made me think about the idea that growth has always been part of our human mandate and our human nature on this earth right from the beginning. You know, if you think about Genesis 1, the commands to Adam and Eve was like, be fruitful and multiply, all the way through to the New Testaments and Jesus's words in this story. Bear in mind, this story is being told to the community via Jesus. It's a parable for life. It's being told to the community as a parable for what the kingdom of heaven is like. And the kingdom of heaven is typically a phrase that is used for people who basically opt into this life of, you know, following Jesus, and that manifests in your earthly life and in your life afterwards, right? And the idea that from Genesis, right at the beginning, right through to this moment in time, there is this expectation that growth is guaranteed, basically. So don't ever despise like the small things that you've been given and the gaps where you think, oh, but I still want this. So does God not think I'm able? God thinks you're able, but are you going to cultivate it? The only thing you have to do is cultivate. Bear in mind, I did not say force. I did not say make it happen yourself. Growth is guaranteed. Growth is not even guaranteed. It's inherent in the nature of an opportunity. An opportunity is given to you because you have the ability to look after it. And it's given to you because it has the potential within it to grow. And I love all the farming metaphors that are used throughout the Bible, because nature in and of itself is a system, is a cycle. This idea of seeds and growth, like, it's all inherent in what it is. And I think that's so exciting, right? Growth is guaranteed, and I'm going to keep saying that. Every gift that has been given to you is because you're more than capable of, quote unquote, flipping it, making it even bigger. So why waste time wondering if it's too good to be true? Why waste time wondering if you're the right person for the job when growth is guaranteed? And it all links back to this question around, what would you do if success was guaranteed? What would you do if you couldn't fail? I'm not saying that things are always going to go in your way and that things are always going to go right. But in the big picture, in the grand scheme of things, growth is guaranteed. That's pretty exciting. It even makes failures and difficulties even more valuable, because you can learn from them. But you also know that they don't have to make your whole life come crashing down, because actually in the big picture, growth is guaranteed. A word of caution. This isn't the same as, I'll have everything I want, or I could just sit back and wait for things to fall in my lap. And it definitely means that we won't experience loss, because also the process of growth in and of itself, there's always an element of shedding. It happens with like nearly every type of tree. It happens with the idea of like a seed. A seed actually germinates and bursts, and then things grow from it. So there is an element of shedding and loss in everything. Not all of it is enjoyable. Some of it is painful. It really reminds me of a phrase that I try and keep in mind quite frequently, or a verse rather that I try and keep in mind more frequently, which is John 15:1-2, where it says, where Jesus says, I'm the true vine, my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it's even more fruitful. So again, this idea of like, even the things that are doing well, they get pruned, they get squeezed, they get refined so that they can even be more fruitful. And I think the balance of that is really important. I also think when we talk about this whole idea of growth being guaranteed is not the same as getting everything you want. It also doesn't mean, by the way, that it's anything that you just imagine, like, oh, I've got this. Like, if you've acquired something by questionable means, then maybe, you know, you might be on your own with that, I'm not gonna lie. Or if you're forcing things, we're talking about talents that have been given. And I think it's really important to remember that. So what we're talking about is also spiritual alignment. There are many things that you can do and participate in that are maybe not aligned to your true self. And if you've, you know, followed me or been on previous webinars that I've done, I talk about how living life on your own terms is actually living life in divine alignment with who you're meant to be. And the key to life is being able to stay focused on that in a world where there's so many options and so many temptations to try something else or do something different. But yeah, so this whole idea that, you know, ultimately everything that's been given to me is, one, according to my ability, and two, that growth is guaranteed for the things that have been given, really creates a sense of calm, a sense of confidence. And it just really blew my mind. And I just wrote in my journal, like, how could I possibly tremble in this journey of building a life, building a career, growing my net worth, when everything in my hand is because you believe in me? Like, you believe in me, God, you believe that I can do this. When everything in my hand is guaranteed to grow if I cultivate it, who am I that you are this like mindful of me? Who am I that in every season, even at the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, the best is yet to come? It just overwhelms me with a sense of gratitude. But like I've said, a sense of calm, a sense of confidence to actually go out and continue to do the things that I'm meant to be doing in life. I think it's wonderful. And that is my thought for this week, really. Let me know what you think. Have a read. Go back to Matthew 25 if you want to refresh your memory on this particular verse. But I think that for me, that was like a major, major turning point at the beginning of this year, and I've been really excited to share this with you guys. I hope it helps you as much as it helped me, and we'll speak soon.